Now when the children of Israel were taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon, they were brokenhearted. Their captors came to him and said, "Hey, you Hebrews, why don't you sing us a song? You're famous for your music." But they were too sad to sing. And here was their response. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yeah, we wept when we remembered Zion. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yeah, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof when we remembered Zion. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. We hang on.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this Saturday morning, a beautiful morning out here in God's country. July 15th, 2017, and I bet the men on the line would agree that where they are, it's God's country as well. So, well, good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we have a couple guests with us this morning. Good morning, Brother Paul.
Good morning.
And we have Leon from Missouri. Good morning, Brother Leon.
Good morning.
And we thank all of you, the remnant, for joining us. We're still working on our phone lines. We've got our piece of equipment sent back for repair, and we've even requested a loaner piece of equipment because we talked with the repair guy, and he's got to do some modifications and installing a new power supply. But hopefully next week we'll have a loaner in here that we can get these call-in lines back open. But we ask you to keep that in prayer. And Brother Leon, we'd ask you to open us up in prayer this morning before we get started.
You bet. Let me read from Revelations 19, verse 11. It says, "And I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Our Heavenly Father, our wonderful Lord God and Creator, you are holy, you are righteous, you are just, you are perfect in all your ways. Even, Lord, at times we don't understand your ways. We know that you are true and you are right and you are just in all your ways. And, Lord God, we cry out to you, and we look forward to the day of the returning of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods. Not returning as that lamb, but returning as a Lion of Judah. We look forward to that day, Lord God, and prepare us, Lord, as a nation, as a people, as men and women of God. Prepare our hearts, Lord, that we may be able to stand in your presence at the returning. Help us, Lord, to be the men and women. Purify us, Lord. Forgive us for our iniquity. Forgive us for our sins and our transgressions. But continue, Lord, to mold and move us. Direct us toward that narrow path that leads to everlasting life. Help us, Lord, to go out among the people and to speak to others, to be a light in this darkening world, to do something. To do something, Lord, for the sake of your kingdom, and the sake of your glory, and the sake of your honor, and the sake of your perfect and holy name. Help us, Lord, today, as we speak together as men, let your words come forth from us, that we may glorify you, that we may honor you with our heart, with our mind, with our soul. Have mercy upon us, Lord, and let your Holy Spirit pour out in this land. Let there be a rush back down to those rivers like in the revivals of old, to get their sins washed away and to grow and to learn and to dwell in your presence. In that precious name of the Holy One of Israel, Jesus our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. Yes, amen. Well, folks, the program is Coffee with the Wranglers, and here we are. And we thank you for joining us. And, well, Paul, how are things out in Michigan? We kind of asked you before, but we'll start with you, put you on the spot, I guess. But thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
And what, you have something to maybe lead us off with this morning?
Well, we've had lots of rain. Things look really lush. It's I don't know how it is exactly, but weather's fine. I'm enjoying it, and you look up every day, so that's the only way you can cope with it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We kind of see that out here. We haven't had rain, but we've had a lot of irrigation water. Had plenty of snow this past winter, and the lighter and higher ditches have dried up from the river and the irrigation water, but we've still got a little bit down here on the meadows, but got fires in the mountains. I've seen some recent fires in Colorado. Breckenridge had a scare here just a couple weeks ago with a quick fire that jumped up in some heavy winds, but they were able to get that out. And we're seeing fires. It's that time of the year. We're seeing them all over California, and they're talking about the Dakotas, and from the Dakotas to Montana and Nebraska being in a drought. And so I think we see that drought in the physical, But we also see that drought hopefully changing in the spiritual, hopefully seeing people turn, people change, people a little less ashamed, if that's the right terminology, of speaking Christ and of standing up for what's right and what's Christian. You seen any of that down in Colorado, John?
Yeah, you seem to see people fearing God a little more concerned about the signs, the birth pangs. Seems to be more people who are boldly proclaiming the truth than when the abomination was in office, probably afraid of the persecution. But there's some good things happening, I guess. Just this week, apparently a whole bunch of evangelical pastors, obviously we don't agree with a lot of what they say, but the fact that they were praying for the president in the Oval Office, and based on the prayers, they sounded pretty powerful. Some were quoting Second Chronicles 7:14, and
yes.
So I think there's some good things happening. Even some of our senators, there's very few, but some of them I think are understand biblical prophecy. They understand the laws of God. They understand we reap what we sow as a nation, and that God can't bless us as a nation if we continue on trying to justify sin. So I think we're seeing, like Trey Gowdy did a speech, and he specifically brought up 2 Chronicles 7:14 as really the only solution to deliverance for this nation. So,
amen.
Some good things happening.
Amen. Well, how about you, Brother Leon? Are you seeing any good signs down there in Missouri that you'd want to share with everybody, or?
Well, there's always good signs. We had a prayer request a couple of weeks ago, and we lifted up a little gal from the Sullivan area, which is just a little west of here. She has Crohn's disease, and she went through surgery, and praise the Lord, she was home that very day. I don't know exactly what happened in that surgery, but everything worked out just right, the way the Lord wanted it to work out at that time period. Well, there's blessings everywhere. You know, the fact that we can assemble and talk, and the sun is shining, the grass is growing sometimes. But it's everywhere, the blessings. If you want to see the blessings, they are there. Now, if Satan has covered your eyes, and he's blinded you to the blessings, but then that's something we have to overcome as a people. Too many times we want to complain. I don't know how many times I hear the radio host, not on Scriptures for America, but on the local radios, complain because there's rain. And I'm like, shut your mouth. You don't know what you're saying. You know, there's people who long for the rain, who pray for the rain. So there's blessings everywhere. So we just have to be careful of not cursing and not being upset because we may not see the way God's hand is moving. But we have to trust that his hand is moving. And he is working everything out for his glory and for his kingdom and for his name's sake. So that's what I see right now.
Amen. Amen. Well, and we've heard several of those praise requests like that, Leon, lately. John, you shared some on the Wednesday night prayer meeting, the young lady, the young girl that had the tumor on her spine, and you gave a testimony how that worked out. We had prayed that it would not be cancerous, and it wasn't, and the doctors were able to remove it, and I think you said even her parents had were praising the Lord. Did I hear that right on Wednesday night?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I've this young man Dan worked for me as a student when he was going to college, and he was taking liberal arts and music and, you know, stupid stuff that you can't get a job. But he was also a really good painter, so he was pretty much my painter.
Right.
And then an opportunity arose for a project management position there where I work, and I recommended him for it, and he got it. And unfortunately, then he couldn't be my painter anymore. but it benefited him. But he'd always struggled with God and with Christianity, and you know, and I've never held back the 20 some years that I've been there. And you know, we've talked about it before. When the rubber hits the road, and there's something that is, you know, tragic in your family, or there's some desperate need, they know who to go to. You know, they know that there's somebody who believes that there is a God, and there is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and we still believe in the things that He told us, the promises that He gave us, the laying on of hands and anointing and all of these things. And so, you know, he kind of came into the office one day humbly, and he said, "Hey, I really appreciate it if you would pray for my daughter." And I said, "Well, what's going on?" So, you know, sit down, we talk about it a little bit, and he said, "Well, I said, well, do you believe Jesus Christ can heal her? Because you're the patriarch, you know, she's 8 years old. You're the one that really has to ask for the prayer, and you're the one that has to agree and believe." And he says, "I want to. I'm trying to." And I said, "Well, that's a start, you know." So then we kind of prayed together too, and I told him, "Well, I'm going to put it on a national prayer chain, and there'll be men and women that love the Lord praying all over the country, and they're praying, believing that the request will be granted." So
yes,
but then you can just see, you know, he after the biopsy came back negative. Then he and his wife and his children came into my office a couple weeks after that, and I just asked him, "Do you mind if I anoint her and pray over her?" And you know, the mother was a little bit hesitant at first, and but then I anointed her and I explained to her what I was doing, and when I got done, the mother was just crying; she couldn't stop crying, and. Ever since I've seen him, you know, from that point on, and especially after the surgery, he's just, "Thank you, Jesus," you know, praise in Jesus. So that's, in my opinion, almost more of a blessing than the actual healing. Is now you got a patriarch, you got a wife, you got a whole family who's proclaiming the love of, you know, and the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So kind of a twofold blessing.
Amen.
You know, as you tell that story, I think of that song "Wildfire," and that's just how it's going to work. You know, another thing we can do, we must never limit ourselves to our own minds. I think of the story of the miners, I don't know, was Ireland or Scotland, where it was, where they all, God, the Spirit of God came over, and the mules couldn't understand because they quit cursing. And that can happen,
yep.
In this country. We don't. You never limit yourself to your own mind, and see it, the time to light the fire, and it's happening. Like you just said, that's going to happen all over the country. You see, and I particularly never was a Trump fan, but I'm telling you what, I always think God played his Trump card. That's what I think. Because see, if you put a Baptist preacher up there, the whole nation would reject the bullshit religion that's going on in this country that has really turned people like the guy, you know, they just reject it because of what the religion they see it as. They seek it. You know, they got the heart of God in them. They can see the truth, and they know when a guy is, when they get themselves in a bind like that. You know, I had a request this week from a lady who wanted to pray for a guy going to have a cancer thing, and I didn't know him from Adam, but I pray, and we'll just see where it goes. But this is, I told her, I said, "Well, you at least know to turn when you get in trouble." You know, and people do know in their heart. The law is written in their heart, and it's going to happen. So that is an exciting story you just told.
Yeah, and then there was another one. I mean, we're just seeing, I think, miracle after miracle. As our the head engineer at WTWW, Ted Randall, he's got a gift. His voice is very powerful, very influential, and he knows his Bible. And he's, you know, he listened to Pastor Peters for many years before he passed, and he understands the truth. But he's had heart issues. He had like 4 or 5 bypasses 5 years ago, and they didn't expect him to live. And we prayed then, and knew that God wasn't done with him. Rebuked Satan and said, you know, couldn't have him. We, you know, he still had work to do. And just recently, he was having some more heart issues and went to Ezekiel, I think it's 36:27 or whatever, where it talks about God can give us a new heart. So that's how we prayed. And I checked on him several days after he had his surgery. And he said, you know, I think God answered your prayer. He says, I feel like I got a new heart. I'm doing things I haven't done in 10 years. And so praise the Lord. We have not because we ask not.
Amen. Amen. And it is unfortunate that sometimes it takes these trials and tribulations, but we see that all throughout the Bible that when his people fall away, when our people fall away from our God, backslide as the churches call it, or just flat out turn away from him, he brings adversity, he brings trials and tribulations. And it's for our testing. It's because he is a loving father, and he wants us to return to him so we can have his blessings. And it is exciting to see that in different ways and with different people. Sorry, Paul, you had something.
Well, the Bible, I always got something. the Bible says, blessed are my afflictions, you know, and I learned years ago, whenever I got into a trouble, I said, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me now? And you look at that as an opportunity rather than a problem, and this is what's right before our very eyes. You know, all the afflictions we have, they're from God, and people mask it with alcohol, drugs, or whatever else they do. They're just trying to mask it. You know, I don't think you have any clue the amount of people that are antidepressants, and that's coming from God. He's making you depressed, so you'll turn to him, and now they're getting some sorceries, as the Revelation said. They wouldn't give up their sorceries, and they're trying to mask it. But that's what's going on here. You either listen to God or, you know, find some pain reliever, go down the tube. So,
amen.
Yeah, it's a fact. The opioids, that's become an epidemic in this country as well. The doctors prescribing opioids for any type of pain because, you know, as a people, we've become so soft and not willing to endure any discomfort, not even pain, but discomfort. You know, Pastor talked about that too. And I guess that's somewhat of a plague that's upon the nation as well, but it's the love of money, you know. They're all making, whoring themselves for money, these doctors who are writing these prescriptions and literally destroying people. I was involved with one intervention. It was before I understood anything about deliverance, but an intervention, and that's an interesting experience going through something like that. Someone who's hooked on those opioids, it's a kind of a schizophrenia or multiple personality. I don't know if you've ever been involved in any one of those interventions, but it's an interesting experience, to say the least.
Yeah, and not just the prescription drugs, but just the rampant drug abuse that is all over. You know, it's not just in the big cities anymore. It's not just South Denver. It's just not North Tampa. It's not just Detroit. It's in the little cities. We've got a family friend that's an EMT over in Cheyenne, and talking with her last week, and she talked about how the heroin overdoses are just exploding over in little Cheyenne. 50,000 people over in this little town in Cheyenne in Wyoming, and how they're getting a couple of calls a day every shift on these heroin overdoses, and it is crazy. We see a meth epidemic going on, it's everywhere. It is, and Paul,
well,
I think,
yeah,
it ties in that it's the pain that these people feel because they have not been taught their God, and they have had from birth. From the time they could do anything and see anything, they've had music and TV on in front of them to program them to any type of programming except God, and it's a complete lost not just a generation, but a lost generation, and more.
Well, they're trying to push this down. You know, it's epidemic. Everybody wants insurance, you know. And what does insurance take you? It takes you to the sorcerers every time. And the people put their faith in that. I mean, people are afraid to death without living without insurance. And you always go there. They have nothing to offer as far as healing. I mean, they're absolutely nothing.
Amen.
And they won't cover the holistic healing. They won't cover the natural.
No.
You know,
well,
they won't cover Rolfing. They won't.
Right.
And I've lived without insurance for over 35 years. You know, and insurance has destroyed this country. Medical insurance has destroyed faith. Car insurance has destroyed responsibility. And you can take that to wherever it wants to go. But 100 years ago, you couldn't sell insurance in this country. And now you can't go without it.
Yep.
And that's a direct barometer on our faith in this country. I just read an article in the paper the other day where on the colleges, there's an article that has turned that the people believe that the colleges are destroying our country. And the majority of people are feeling that way. And the colleges are scared because it's going to drive up the tuition. Well, what a wonderful thing. It ain't done anything anyway. So, I mean, things are changing. If you're really paying attention, things are changing.
Amen.
Yeah, you can see Babylon crumbling around us. You know, it's happening fairly slowly, but like you say, if you're watching, you can see there. You know, even we were talking, I think last week, a little bit about Illinois. I mean, Illinois is bankrupt, period, and they're about to get their bonds classified as junk. And at that point, you know, you look at the people who won lotteries, and they think that they're set for life, and they decided to take the $10,000 a month or whatever it is. But all of a sudden, those checks aren't going to be coming in. And I guess I was talking to my brother, who's out here visiting from Illinois, and he said that they stopped the lottery, then they started it, then they stopped it, then they started it. They don't even know what they're doing. And basically, you know, the idea of the lottery was 50% goes to the winnings and 50% goes to the state or whatever. But like most states and governments, you know that they're robbing from Peter to pay Paul, and apparently they have $250 million in unfunded liabilities. So they're talking about raising property taxes and income tax 32%. Now, if that isn't going to cause a mass drove of people to leave the state, I don't know what will.
Yes.
Well, Revelation 18, cut yourself off. You don't go down with Babylon, what amounts to. That's happened before your very eyes. It'll self-consume. See, you can have a whole wheelbarrow full of money, and you ain't going to be able to buy a loaf of bread. I think there's a famine coming in this country. You know, you're drying up in the West, and we're soaking wet in this side of the country. I mean, and you know, there's something about a lot of rain. Stuff looks good, but it's not. It's just phony. You know, like a Hollywood woman, and there's no food value in it, and that's what we got going on here. It looks good from the road, but it looks lush. It looks like paradise, you know, with the trees and everything the way they are, but it's just not the way it is. So,
yeah, I was reading an article in Monsanto. You'll get interested in this, Paul, but this morning they were talking about how the FDA just approved for Monsanto to genetically modify seed so that they don't have to spray pesticides anymore. They're going to build it into the food. So they're going to use the pesticides in the engineering, genetic engineering of the food now. And it was approved by the FDA.
You know what that means? That means that food's so bad a bug won't eat it. And I've already heard stories of this in the cows. Two stories this spring, the farmer called the seed man. He said, "This seed looked good. The crop looked good. It yielded good." He said, "But the cows won't eat it."
Really?
That's a problem.
Yeah. We've seen that in the past, where people have done studies where they would take the regular corn or organic corn and have it out in a barn, and then the GMO stuff beside it, and the rats and the mice would not touch the GMO stuff. Wouldn't touch it. And so on their side,
stories too of that they got that Roundup Ready sweet corn, and the raccoons wouldn't even go in and eat it. So We got a mess because I'm telling you what, there's Roundup corn as far as you can see. And I believe, this is a big story, but I believe it's affecting the weather.
Wow.
If ever there's a time to be praying over our food, it's now in the day and age that we're living in.
Yes.
To be proclaiming the name of Jesus through our food.
Amen.
And to purify our food.
Amen.
He is able
we
to
read
take.
That. Absolutely. We read that all through the New Testament. You know, where they're told, hey, if you're presented food, you pray over it. If you're not sure what it is, you pray over it, and that blesses it. I think of the story. They were mixing all this in the pot, and oh, there's poison in the pot. They put it was the wrong type of gourds or what, leaves or whatever. What did they do? They prayed over it, and that's what we absolutely. Because you can't get away from it. You look at maybe it's not organic, but they'll advertise it as good and natural, no artificial flavors, no artificial colors, and you think it's all good, and you look in the fine print on the back, and it's made with partially genetically modified seed or food, and it is everywhere. It is everywhere.
What that organic farming is about, like Judeo-Christianity. They're trying to grow food, and what I do, I can't fix this country without a spiritual renewal.
Yeah,
amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And I mean, absolutely. I mean, people are spiritually dead, and that farmers just as bad as the rest of them. You'd think they'd be above that. They're not. They may be worse because, see, actually, farmers are a moral issue. Leviticus 19:19 says, "Don't plant your seeds with mingled seeds, or don't plant your fields with mingled seeds." Now, see, that goes all the way back to here. You know, we're so far down the line with Monsanto, whatever's going on here, that people have lost the law. I mean, that law has got to be held in balance in your mind.
Yes.
If you know what I mean, it's got to, you don't want to, people that are so self-righteous because of the law, and then there's people that use the law to perfect their life. That's the difference, if I can put in the right words. But we're so far gone spiritually, and see, farming has a moral issue, but I want to give you hope, because there's an undertow on this country that people that realize it, and that little small farmer that's trying to do better, it's epidemic in this country, and it's taken over. And that's what I want you to look at, because the big guys are going away. God said we'd be driven from the land. Well, the big guys were the first phase of sucking up the little farms, but they're going too. But there's an undertow on this country with little, small 10-acre farms. In fact, I had a guy from near where you are, Johnny. He was an organic farmer there by wherever, real close to you. He came into the show a couple years ago, and he wanted to raise organic. I said, well, all my products are organic. I said, would you consider raising chemical-free? I said, we can go that way. Well, he says, I don't want to lose it. He says, you don't know how much I make off that 10 acres. You know, and that's going on in this country.
Yes.
You know, he was a good man. He just wanted, he had to play by their rules, because the U.S. government has taken over the organic industry. You know, what have they ever done with anything, So, but anyway, it's going on, and there's hope. I want to leave you with that, because, there's a storm coming. You better get in your shelter. But
absolutely.
There's going to be people coming out the other side. That's one of them earlier. I says, a lot of the people you see aren't going to be here. If they turn to their God's sorcery or whatever else it is that saves them, they're not going to be here. And just like the story you told, John, these people are coming back to this. Let me read to you Isaiah 1, verse 3. The ox knows his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. And that's what's happening. There's going to be an awakening. I don't know how many. There's always a remnant.
Yes. Yep. You know, Paul, it comes to mind that is, I think, I know our pastor knew that. He believed in that. He taught that. And I think that's one of the reasons that he put so much emphasis on, the Acres of Diamond Men and the Gideon Elite. And I think it was one of the reasons it was on his heart, the last 10, 15 years of his ministry. To teach. He always put the truth out worshipped in truth and in spirit. But, you know, the last 15 years, it was to teach others as well and to prepare us, to prepare me, to prepare you, to prepare each and every one of us as patriarchs, as the men, to be able to do that very thing, so that when that time comes, we're able to teach, we're able to tell, we're able to, you know, when you read back in the Old Testament, when they would rediscover the law, oh, they'd stand up and read it for 4 days straight, and the people would weep because they would be convicted in their heart of how they had turned from that, how it did apply to them, but how they had turned away from it. And I think that is going to happen. You know, those that are of the remnant, they will return. They will desire to hear it. I think we're seeing some of that shift. The people know something's wrong. Like the person with the 10 acres. Hey, he's got to get back and, you know, trying. The people are trying to get back. When Adam gets back to the land, they draw closer to God. When they get back to the land in his way, and I think that we're seeing that. We've got some neighbors up in Iowa, and yeah, 600 acres of corn put in, and this has been probably half a dozen years ago, but I remember them telling us they did 600 acres of corn, always had, you know, and it's in with the co-op, and it, you know, they do it all, and it goes down to the granary or wherever, you know, the silos, and it goes through all the programs. And they had a little kitchen garden, about 4 acres, out behind the house. And they stagger planted sweet corn, an heirloom sweet corn, and sold that on the side of the road. And they made more money on that 4 acres of sweet corn, selling it on the side of the road and at farmers markets, than they did on the 600 acres that went through the program. And
man, I think that. If that's the man I think it is, he was telling me that story. I said, well, why don't you sell half of it and make a living? You know, and I said, get into produce. And he did. I seen him several years later, and he says, well, I did what you said, and I'm making money. So, you know, if you're going to stay in the commodity market, you're going to get what they give you. So,
yeah, and it's a shifting of values. It's a shifting of belief. It is, and I think we're seeing that all over the country. The lines being drawn on belief. You know, we've had 8, 12, 16, 20 years of this, upwards I think of 50 years since prayer's been taken out of school, of this driving to the left, and we've talked about it before. We're seeing a shift, a change back to the right. John, you mentioned earlier about the evangelicals going and praying over President Trump, and I saw a little article on that this week, and the prayers. I saw some of the prayers that were offered, and yeah, they were offered by females, and they were offered by some that we don't, as you said, John, agree with 100%. But I believe I heard the name of Jesus Christ mentioned, and invoked, and prayed, and. Boy, I saw an article. The media is in an uproar. They're mocking this. Saying that, oh, you know, what a joke. And there again, I think you apply the fruit test. You know, is it promoting that abundant life that Christ came to give us? And is it promoting His will, what He tells us to do? And who's against it? And the media are mocking it, you know, saying, oh, this doesn't belong in the White House, and, you know, what good is this? And in Luke 6, we're reading Luke 6, Luke in the Bible reading plan this week, and in Luke 6, it says in verse 22, blessed are you when men hate you. And so for that very reason, if you have you see this prayer, invoking the name of Jesus Christ, doing what is pure and right, praying over our leaders, we're told to do that. You know, the laying on of hands, and you know, there is a pure and proper order there. And I think at least some of them are trying and are doing it in service to God, and you know, not to promote themselves, but sincerely praying for our leaders. And we see the left, the media, Hollywood just hates it. They hate it.
We have to be careful too that we don't become acceptant and tolerant of things that are not biblical, like the women preachers thing. You know, we have to. I mean, if they're there to pray, but if they're, you know, if they're saying Pastor, you know, Carol, whatever, we have to be very careful that we don't give in to that that mindset. Well, they're praying good, so, you know, because that's what most evangelical Christians will say. Well, what, it doesn't hurt anything. Well, yes, it does, because it's against God's laws, commandments, and his statutes. And when we break his laws, his commandments, and his statutes, there's consequences, period. There may be good, but there's also going to be bad. So we have to be, I think we have to be very careful that we don't fall into that trap. And we got to be, you know, wise as serpents too. Are those people who are laying hands on him cursing him or blessing him? You know, that's the thing we have to remember as well.
Pastor taught us to
be leery.
There's this little church I drive by quite regular, and the other day, and it said this Nancy, some preacher on the bottom. The other day I went by, and there was a man's name on the bottom of that sign. I thought that was kind of a neat thing.
Yes. Yes. And I think as we you know, this country has gone so far left, so far away from God, they have forgotten God. It's as simple as that. And his law, and the words of Christ, where he said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And I think the people are turning, you know, and as they get a little bit, just as we were, you know, when we started to believe a little bit of truth, God gave us more. And that's...
Well,
that's
John says, you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you.
Yes.
It's our duty. We have the problem.
Yes.
He don't have a problem.
Amen.
We do.
Amen. And I think when Brother Leon can
attest to this too, this church that we've visited there in Oklahoma City, you can feel the spirit of the Lord there, the Holy Spirit, the music, and, you know, several other things, but they don't have the truth. And we were convicted to let them know that look, you can't have women pastors. And there's, you know, they'll announce them, well, this is, you know, pastor whatever, and there's three or four women pastors in that church. And you can show them the scriptures. You can show them God's word. And bottom line was, well, this is what we've done since this is what this denomination's done since the 1800s. And you know, the traditions of men don't trump the laws, the statutes, and the commandments of God, period.
No.
And they won't see that. They can't see that because they're afraid of losing their church. They're afraid of, you know, they're already suffering in that church because they are, at least the Holy Spirit is present there, and there's people who are genuinely praising God. But without the truth, see, I think that's why God's been so merciful to us as the remnant in Scriptures for America. We've always had the truth, and because we have the truth, and our pastor stood on that truth, God has blessed the ministry and been merciful in the timing of the different things that he's teaching us and showing us.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we were talking about the weather earlier on. And I want to go back there for a second, if you don't mind. And the book of Amos talks about where he sends the rain here, and he holds it there, and I send it here, and still you don't turn to me. The book of Amos is very, in my opinion, very big on what's going on right now, particularly you watch agriculture. We all eat, and we all got to eat and stuff like that, but agriculture tells you where it's going, and it's that simple. God is going to get our attention one way or the other.
Yes.
If he has to kill us.
Yes.
Yeah, amen. Go ahead, Leon, what were you going to say?
I was saying, brothers, we have the authority in Jesus to turn those curses that they may have presented on Donald Trump or the brother, known or unknown. We have the authority to change that in who we are in Christ.
Amen.
So join me together, brothers.
Yes.
Let's pray in agreement. Our Heavenly Father, you are righteous and you are holy. we take those prayers that's been offered over our president, Donald Trump, and we purify them in the name of Jesus, that they are pure and they are holy and they are true. Any curses that may have been tried to lay upon him, we rebuke that curse and we reverse that curse and we send that curse back upon the individual who would try to curse the president. And Lord, we want that individual, if they're able to repent, they're able to turn from their wicked ways, But all prayers that have been offered over Donald Trump, we wish in the name of Jesus Christ to filter them for holiness and righteousness and godliness, that he would be a blessed man who would seek to draw closer to you in all of his ways, all of his actions, and all of his will, that he will do all things to glorify your name, Jesus, and do things for your sake and for your kingdom and for your dominion. In that blessed name of Jesus Christ, we do pray and we do command in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Heavenly Father, we do plead the blood of Jesus over Donald Trump and his family. Lord, we ask for wisdom, Lord, the kind of wisdom that Solomon had. And Father, if he's been deceived by these evangelical preachers, I pray that you would remove the scales from his eyes and unstop his ears and that he would see the truth. Lord, we lift up this country. We thank you for this second chance, Lord, for this temporary deliverance of a nation. If your people who are called by your name humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then your promise is there that you will forgive their sin and heal their land. Father, that's our prayer and our petition, that your people who are called by your name would humble themselves. They would find the time to be in prayer with you, Lord, to create that intimate relationship that you desire for your people, that we not only come to you when we need something, Lord, but we come to you and we talk to you and we just praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace and your mercy upon your people. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Paul, that and that Second Chronicles 7:14 that you prayed, John, that ties right in, Paul, as you've mentioned, about the rain being withheld and too much rain here and there and the people fighting so much against the diseases that come in our food and the animals. And the Second Chronicles 7:13 that prefaces that prayer, John, and we see that prayer, you know, we see it more and more. We see it on placards, on cars, and on little signs in people's front yards and on shirts. But verse 13 ties right into it, and the reason we have that is God says, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, after that happens, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. As you said, Paul, you know, teach us what it is, Lord. Bring us back in line if you have to kill us. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And so I think we can see this. We can expect this coming. The heavens being shut up, the locusts to devour the land, and the pestilence. And I think we've seen bits and pieces of it, but I think we're going to see more to get
one thing.
Those
I was
people to turn to him.
Somewhat disappointed when I watched that Trey Gowdy speech was, you know, if it's that important to you, take the time and memorize it. When I first heard that 2 Chronicles 7:14, Pastor Peters used it in a message, and it struck a chord with me. And I said, yep, this is one of the keys. And so I made the attempt to actually study it and to memorize it. There's a lot of verses that we need to memorize as Christians, to take the time to memorize. Luke 10:19, I've given you authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Those are the things that we have to be able to recite when we're in predicaments that are coming.
Amen.
You know, greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. All of these things, we don't even have to remember what verse it is. We just need to remember the verse so that we can use it in this spiritual warfare that we're in.
Amen.
Yes, you've got to remember the principles. You don't have to know the exact verse. I used to be able to quote the Bible like nobody you knew, but I kind of took it away from me. Now I talk in principles. You mm-hmm. take Romans 8, was it Romans 13?
8:28? No, okay.
Romans 13, that authority. When you know, I looked at that thing for a long time. If you stop and read what that really is saying, there is no authority but of God. So if we don't have this power, we've let it go, and it's being usurped. And the devil totally yeah. works on deception, and that's the most perverted chapter in the whole Bible. There is no authority but of God. So something's wrong with this picture.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Obedience is the key, I'm convinced.
Yes, At least one of them. It's key. When we do what God says, he'll fight our battles, he said.
Yeah, when you look at the Old Testament, how many times did the Lord just give the enemy into their hands, you know? There was nothing that they did, and unless he gave the enemy into their hands before they fought the battle, they didn't win.
Amen.
They didn't have the victory.
Amen. And it had to be in his order. You know, you think about the battle of AI. It had to be in his order, you know. And when they lost, it was, oh, Lord, how have we sinned? Forgive us, Lord. Show us where the sin is. Show us why, you know, how we've sinned. And when that was repented of, when that was taken care of, well, then the victory returned. And it will be that way in this land. Oh, that the people would see that. Repent or perish. Repent. Turn back to him and see the enemies of God given into our hands again.
Well, here's Romans 13. Let every soul. Now, that's as far as I'm going. The first three words, now soul. Now, you know, Trump has a soul. Obama has a soul. Hillary Clinton has a soul. All souls are supposed to be in his subjection. That's how that whole chapter is perverted.
Amen.
Mm.
Yes.
But they take that and twist it around and beat us up with it. So then we got to be obedient to any idiot that comes along and tells us what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Obey the authority, yep. Not if it's ungodly.
That's right. That's right.
The ultimate authority is God. Yes. So is he subject to him? That's the question right there.
No, it's all are subject to him. Absolutely all are subject
That's
to
right.
him. And how many times do we read in the New Testament? You know, we're told, even by the apostles, that we must obey God rather than man. You know, we must obey God rather than man. And that, you know, we saw Jesus do that. And of course, he is our example, as all of the Scripture is. And we must do that. And when there's a distinction between man saying one way and God saying the other, we have to go with God. We have to.
Probably the chapter that impacted my life the most is Deuteronomy 28. You know, there's 15
yeah,
verses.
Exactly.
Yes.
And 53 verses of curses. Now, which one do you want? Now, the first 15 seem a little boring at first, but when you go on to read the curses, I think I'll take that first.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, so many people don't even know what Deuteronomy 28 is. Most Christians have probably never even read Deuteronomy 28. Don't understand the blessings and the curses. Go ahead, Leo.
Well, we got them all.
Yeah. Just a little promo. Man, wait a minute. This is the Word of God we need to be reading. You know, I'm thankful that Scriptures for America really promote reading of the Word of God. And we're not going to know what's in the book unless we read it. And we are called to question any of those that are in preaching and authority. And we can't call them into question if we don't know what the Word says itself. It's important, men and women of God, that we read the Word, especially you men. You men need to be reading the Word of God to your families verbally. Let that frequency permeate your house. Let them hear. This is God's love letter. This is his instruction manual for us as we're traveling throughout this universe on this flying ship called planet Earth. Treat it as such. Read it and study it and love it. Because the God of the universe loves us so much that he's given us a manual to teach us what is right and teach us what is wrong and teach us how to draw closer to us, to him, how we can draw closer to him through his word. So men and women, read your Word of God.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, in the early Roman Catholic Church, they kept the word from the people. And in the reality, I think today, most churches don't want them to read the word. Because when they read the word, they see the truth. And when they see the truth, they know that they're lying. They know that they're false prophets. They know that they're false teachers. And they've been getting away with it for so long that, you know, it's a, the whole Judeo-Christian religion is a scam in a lot of ways. And they don't want the people to read the Bible. There's really nothing new under the sun, just like it was back in the early Christian churches.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
and then that holds the preachers and teachers accountable as well. If your people read the Bible, then you better make sure you understand what you're saying.
Amen. Amen. How many times did our pastor say that? He would read it and he would preach a sermon and he would say, "Don't believe me. You go look it up yourself. You go look and see if this is not what this word of God says." Time and time again we heard him say that, to drill it into our heads so that, because we are to do that. Like you said, Brother Leon, that is our responsibility. And that's one of the responsibilities that the people have shunned, that the people have turned away from. Oh, no, I need to watch my ball game. I need to drink my beer. I need to go work. I need to go ride my four-wheeler. I need to do all this stuff. I got a golf match this afternoon. And you know, I go to church. I listen to that guy. I put a 20 in the plate. And you know, that doesn't get it. That is not your responsibility, folks. Your responsibility is to know the Word of God, to read it, as you said, to draw nearer to him, to draw nearer to God, so that he will draw nearer to you, and so that you can know. You know, that very term, Judeo-Christianity, we've talked about it. That's not what this country was founded on. It was founded on a Christian ethic. I mentioned that to our little, a couple weeks ago, to our little Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, the men in town, and mentioned that to them. You know, one of them mentioned said something about a Judeo-Christian ethic, and I said, "No, just stop and think about that term. Judeo denies that Jesus is the Christ. They're still waiting on the Messiah. Christianity, based on Jesus is the Christ. How can you have an ethic that holds these two opposing thoughts, opposing ideals in the same sentence, in the same structure? And you can't." And our pastor taught on that. You know, it's that double-mindedness. We have a little booklet by our pastor as we're wrapping up here. We're almost out of time this morning. But it's called A Double-Minded People. And if you're not familiar with that, if that's kind of struck a chord, you contact us. We'll send it to you. A Double-Minded People. And our pastor points that out, that's not how we are to be. And that term, Judeo-Christianity, is a double-minded saying. It is an oxymoron. It's a virgin whore. It's a white black. It's a black white. You can't have it. It is a spell that is among the people. Anyway, well, guys, thanks for joining us. We're out of time this morning. Paul and Leon and John, thank you so much for being up and taking the time out of your day to join us. It was, I think, a good conversation. And folks, hopefully by next week we'll have the call-in lines back on. We do want to invite you. You can join us at church tomorrow at scriptures4america.org. We'll fire up about 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and join us. You can come for fellowship and make it a habit. Make it a habit on Sunday morning to join us for church. And John's got a live message for us tomorrow. And hey, next week, guest speaker. We'll say, hey, plan on this week, make sure it's all set up, and join us next week. We have a guest speaker coming in for a live message, and looking forward to it. Well, men, thanks so much. God bless. Have a great rest of the weekend.
Rolling, 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 rolling,